Mr. Romance by Flippy Spoon, read by Cookie Mom 6067. Uhura, Christine, and McCoy were all having cocktails in the lounge when the subject of Spock's romantic abilities came up. 5-year mission, and I swear not one eligible bachelor out of 400, Christine said, sighing. My only hope is to pick up a prospect on some planet somewhere. Seems to work for the captain. Yeah, for a day or two, McCoy said, rolling his eyes. Still, glad to hear you've finally given up the ghost on you-know-who. Oh, that ship sailed a long time ago, Christine said with a wave of her hand. Even if I'd ever had another chance with him, I'd never know it. Oh, with Mr. Spock, you mean? Uhura said, chuckling. Well, he must be the least romantic person in the universe, even by Vulcan's standards. I agree with you there, McCoy said. Anyway, I doubt any woman would have a chance with Spock as long as the captain's around, and you can interpret that however you like. Christine laughed in surprise, and Uhura only raised her eyebrows. But it got her to thinking, and when she started thinking about it, she started noticing things. Some things she'd always noticed, like the way Spock and the captain stuck to each other like glue, and the way Kirk looked at him like he was the only person in the world. The way Spock allowed the captain to get so close to him physically when he made a point of setting himself apart from others. Then one day she noticed that Spock kept glancing over at Kirk from his science station. He gave little away, but Uhura surmised that he was annoyed in some way. Then she heard the captain clear his throat, and she glanced at Spock, who once again turned his head back to look at him, just as the captain uncrossed his legs and recrossed them with his left leg crossed over instead of his right. When Spock turned his head back, he was as close to smiling as Uhura had seen him in a year. Did that mean something? Then, about 10 minutes later, the captain said, Mr. Spock, I need to speak to you in my ready room. Sulu, you have the comm. Yes, Captain, they both said. Spock all but leapt to his feet. Interesting. 8 days later, almost exactly the same thing happened, except this time Spock was not continually glancing over. He was focused entirely on his work. But again, the captain cleared his throat, uncrossed his legs, and recrossed them in the opposite direction. This time, minutes later, he got to his feet and said, I will be in my quarters for a short time. Sulu, you have the con. This time, Kirk left the bridge, but minutes later, Spock rose and said to Uhura, Lieutenant, I must check on several specimens in my lab. Please notify me of anything pressing. Of course, Mr. Spock, Uhura said. Huh. After a third incident, this time with Kirk again requesting to see Spock in his ready room, she wondered if it had been happening before and she'd never noticed it. She was tempted to ask Sulu or Chekov if they had noticed it and if it meant what she now suspected it meant, but did not want to start any rumors if they didn't already exist. Then one day, upon returning to the bridge after whatever rendezvous had presumably just occurred, Uhura widened her eyes in absolute shock to see Mr. Spock looking slightly disheveled. His hair was tousled and out of place, and his lips were noticeably darker, his cheeks flushed a bit minty. And more than that, when she looked at the captain, he was smiling, like the cat that ate the canary. The other times they had returned from the bridge with short absences, she had been too focused on her own work to get a look at them. Mr. Spock, Uhura whispered to him, your hair is out of place. Spock's eyes flashed, and he caught his own reflection in the glass of the console, immediately straightening himself out. Thank you, he murmured. There was so much she wanted to say and was just about to, but then, once he was marginally more put together, he glanced over his shoulder at the captain with a look of such naked adoration that she felt a little guilty just for witnessing such an emotional display from him. She turned back to her work, biting back a smile. Then, a few days after that, she happened to notice Spock pursing his lips as he typed something out on his pad before setting it down again and taking a deep breath, eyes back on the sensors. Less than a minute later, the captain, who had been silent for the last 45 minutes, softly said, "Ah." He was reading his pad. As he continued to read, he covered his mouth, eyes dancing. Uhura, as inconspicuously as possible, risked a look at Spock, who continued to focus on his sensors. But again, he was smiling. Faintly, and more in the eyes than anything, but it was quite noticeable, if you'd known him as long as Uhura had. Then the captain stood tugging on his tunic and said, "I'll be in my ready room." Spock got to his feet. Everyone looked at him, and he ducked his head, his jaw twitching. Yes. Spock, would you join me a moment?" When they'd left, Uhura heard Sulu across the bridge say, "Real subtle, the two of them." Feeling oddly defensive, Uhura said, "You hush." Sulu and Chekov exchanged eye rolls, but nobody said anything else. 1 week later, Uhura saw the captain slowly walking down a corridor, staring at a single purple flower in his hand, a flower that Uhura happened to know was native to Vulcan, and which she also happened to know Mr. Spock had been cultivating in the ship's mini biodome. The captain was smiling like a lovesick fool. If this, Uhura thought, was only what could be observed in the public areas of the ship, she had to wonder what went on in private, scattered rose petals, serenades on the lyre. She supposed, as unlikely as it seemed, if Mr. Spock were to pursue the captain, he would be as intelligent about it as he was everything else. He knew what humans were like, the captain in particular. If the captain wanted romance, Spock would give him romance. A month after that, the captain went missing. The Durdurans, a newly discovered alien race, insisted he had died in an avalanche on their icy planet, yet they could not produce a body. Spock led search teams, one after the other, to all corners. His persistence was relentless. He would find Kirk alive or he would find Kirk dead, but there was no leaving Durdura until they found Kirk. The ship remained at Durdura for 6 weeks with Spock in command, constantly pestered by Bones, who was a never-ending dispenser of rants such as, "Spock, you must eat more, at least eat something for God's sake. Spock, even Vulcans need to sleep. The captain won't be saved by your insufferable martyrdom." The captain was eventually discovered half-dead in a Durduran lab. They had claimed they were curious about humans. The Durduran leader had been endlessly apologetic, claiming he had no knowledge of the kidnapping, as the captain was beamed back aboard the ship. Uhura had been standing right there when Spock turned, clenching his fists, and flatly said, "You are indeed fortunate that my nature precludes any allowance for retaliation." But again, she saw what went on in his eyes. That evening, Uhura stopped by sickbay to pay her respects to the recovering captain. It was late, and sickbay was dimly lit. Only Mbenga was on duty, and he was in his office. Spock and the captain did not hear her enter, and the captain's bio bed was far in the back. But she stopped short at what she saw. Kirk was on his feet, but Spock was on his knees, hugging the captain around his waist. Meanwhile, Kirk, half bent over, running his hands reverently through Spock's hair, stroking his back. "Jim," Spock whispered. He grabbed the captain's hands and kissed his fingers. "Jim." "I know, my love," the captain said softly. "I know, darling. I'm all right now. I promise." Uhura turned around and exited, feeling like she'd nearly disrupted something sacred. It was so affecting. She was in a daze herself and ended up in the lounge, where she found Nurse Chapel and McCoy relaxing at a table after their stressful day. They quickly waved her over. She couldn't get over it all. Despite all these momentous observations, the rest of the time Spock was completely himself, as controlled and impassive as ever, while still retaining that dry humor about him. "Nyota, come sit with us," McCoy said. He poured her a drink from his carafe, We all deserve one, that's for sure. Would never have even found Jim if you hadn't translated that Dirduran encryption. Yes, thanks. Uhura took the drink and knocked the whole thing back. Oof, that's better. We're celebrating the captain's return, McCoy said. He poured a second glass for Neota, and she raised it for a toast. Hooray, Christine said. And, McCoy said, the end of that pig-headed Vulcan being the most insufferable, irrational robot of a goblin of a hey! Uhura leapt to her feet and pointed a finger right between McCoy's eyes. You be nice to Mr. Spock. He's the most romantic person in the entire universe. Why, it was his love for the captain. That's the reason he's even alive. Don't you know that? His beautiful, beautiful love. Are you really such an empty-headed fool that you can't see it? It's as bright as the biggest, brightest star in the universe. Uhura finally shut her mouth and realized the other dozen or so patrons of the lounge, including McCoy and a stricken Nurse Chapel, were staring at her. McCoy cleared his throat and again raised his glass. Well, Lieutenant Uhura, it would seem you know something I don't, as of yet. But cheers to that. To love, to romance. To Mr. Spock, Uhura said tearfully and clinked her glass against the doctor's. The end.